Thank you, Brother. Certainly take all the prayers that I can get. As usual, I'm a scatterbrain. So hopefully I do these things in the right order. And thankfully I have a God who puts me in the right order. And even if I'm not in the right order, whoever needs it, their mind is a scatterbrain as mine, and it comes in the right order. So I just want to say I'm thankful to be here tonight. I want to start with a story, and I hope I don't offend anybody tonight, but as you know, I'm kind of different in life than a lot of people. Grew up differently. I was a scattered member, as you call it today, but I have to tell you a story, it was no wonder as I stand here today and as I watch any sermon that comes before us, my guess is we're going to be talking about the times, whether it be the virus or what's going on and everything. So it's no surprise, certainly, the theme around our brother's topic this morning. But I must say, even with that, it's interesting how I think my sermon is not so much a continuation, but kind of a great partner with what he said this morning. So I am grateful to be here. But I got to tell you a story about this whole situation that's happening. My hope tonight, title of my sermon is Remembrance. I have to tell you a story about my nature. I remember when I had first started working for Bayer, I was working in research and development, and as you work in a large company, usually what happens in my experience is they like to release people in the research and development department. And we had heard the rumor that it was going to happen, and all these people had come to our group, and we knew it was happening. And and it was all fun and games to me at that time, because as I started watching, everybody they were walking out of that building that was saying goodbye to us were all people that were smiling. They were happy because they were of retirement age. They were thankful. The company I work for has always been very good at giving good severance packages when you go. And so they were happy. And I was happy for them. And it was fun to make some jokes, as I'll do at that time. And then next thing you know, one of my bosses gets walked out the door. And he was still, by all standards, a young man. And really shouldn't have been walked out the door, but because of things being political, he didn't get along with his big boss. He got walked out the door, and it got real close to me at that point. It put some fear into me, and I say that because that's my nature. And as I go through this topic and stuff, and you know me well enough, I'll made some wisecracks, but I don't mean to lessen things, but I also at the same time want to encourage you. That this should not be a time, as our brother talked about. The Lord did not give us a spirit of fear, and we should not be fearful at this time. We should be rejoicing at the opportunities that this brings to us. And I hope that makes sense. When I think about this for me, and I look out and I've heard people talk, it is kind of weird to look at an empty congregation here. There's two people, Glenn and Michelle, are sitting here. Michelle asked me to quiet everybody down, but this is my size of crowd. This is the crowd I like to preach to. So I'm in my environment. I'm a bit of an introvert. So staying at my house is kind of a bonus for me. I enjoy being with my family. As I woke up this morning, I'm running around, not running around, but just a relaxed morning getting up. No rush to get things done. You don't have to slip into the shower and get your Sunday go to meeting clothes on and get the kids ready and shoving them off to church. You just hop them up. And what was really neat is after a while, my twins, Jacob and Marie, are sitting on the computer and they're in Sunday school, and here's Kim doing Sunday school with the kids, and Sarah's in her room and she's on Sunday school with Gary's class. And Amy and I are, getting breakfast ready and doing coffee. And it was a nice morning, as Brother Gordon talked about, beautiful sunny morning here in Arizona. And it was a joy, nothing to be fearful of, even though what was going on. And so I hope I can continue to relay that message. If you've become fearful or panicked or scared or anything, have faith in the Lord. Remember your life. Remember what he's given to us. And again, I hope I can relay that message to you. I want to start by talking about three groups of people, if you will, that we're all very familiar with. I'm not going to read the whole story of them. I'm just going to read a section just to kind of give you a kick as a reminder. And I want to start in 1 Nephi in chapter 2. A And I want to read verses 3 through 14. And it says this, and of course, I guess I should preface this, I shouldn't have to, but this is the story of Lehi and his family and what's happening with them, and it says this in chapter 2, verse 3 through 14. And it mattereth not to me that I am particular to give a full account of the things of my father. This is Nephi talking, referring to his father Lehi, for they cannot be written upon these plates, for I desire the room that I might write of the things of God. For the fullness of mine intent is that I may persuade men to come unto the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob and be saved. Wherefore, the things which are pleasing unto the world I do not write, but the things which are pleasing unto God and unto them which are not of this world. Wherefore, I give commandment unto my seed that they shall not occupy these plates, which things are not of worth unto the children of men. And that is a very good passage of Scripture, but it is not the correct Scripture that I wanted to start with. Where I meant to start was chapter 1 of 1 Nephi. If I had a pen, I'd change that. So let's start this again. Chapter 1 of 1 Nephi. Probably nervous because of all the people in here. Michelle can be pretty intimidating. She's already asked the crowd to be quiet in here. So everybody just be quiet, please. 1 Nephi chapter 1, 3 through 14, I apologize. For it came to pass in the commencement of the first year of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, my father Nephi, having dwelt in Jerusalem in all his days, and in that same year they came many prophets, prophesying unto the people that they must repent, or the great city Jerusalem must be destroyed. Wherefore it came to pass that my father Lehi, as he went forth, prayed unto the Lord, yea, even with all his heart in behalf of his people. And it came to pass, as he prayed unto the Lord, there came a pillar of fire and dwelt upon a rock. Before it came to pass that he returned to his own house at Jerusalem and cast himself upon his bed, being overcome with the spirit and the things which he had seen, and being thus overcome with the spirit, he was carried away in a vision. Even that he saw the heavens open, and he saw God sitting upon his throne, surrounded with numberless concourses of angels, in the attitude of singing and praising their God. And it came to pass that he saw one descending out of the midst of heaven, and he beheld that his luster was above that of the sun at noonday. And he also saw 12 others following him, and their brightness did exceed that of the stars in the firmament. And they came down and went forth upon the face of the earth. And the first came and stood before my father and gave him a book and bade him that he should read. And it came to pass as he read, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And he read, saying, woe, woe unto Jerusalem, for I have seen thine abominations. Yea, and many things did my father read concerning Jerusalem, that it should be destroyed, and the inhabitants thereof, many should perish by the sword, and many should be carried away captive into Babylon. And it came to pass when my father had read and seen many great and marvelous things, he did exclaim many things unto the Lord, such as great and marvelous are thy works, O Lord God Almighty. Thy throne is high in the heavens, and thy power and goodness and mercy over all the inhabitants of the earth, because thou art merciful. Thou wilt not suffer those who come unto thee that they shall perish. And after this manner was the language of my father. In the praising of God, for his soul did rejoice, and his whole heart was filled because of the things which he had seen, yea, which the Lord had shown unto him. And real quick, skipping over to 23, starting at 23. I can't read my writing, so I'm not sure where I'm reading to. But we'll start. But behold, I, Nephi, will show unto you that the tender mercies of the Lord are over all them whom he hath chosen because of their faith, to make them mighty even unto the power of deliverance. For behold, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto my father, yea, even in a dream, and said unto him, blessed art thou, Lehi, because of the things which thou hast done, and because thou hast been faithful and declared unto this people the things which I commanded thee. Behold, they seek to take away thy life. And it came to pass that the Lord commanded my father, even a dream, that he should take his family and depart into the wilderness. And it came to pass that he was obedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore, he did as the Lord commanded him. And it came to pass that he departed into the wilderness. And so this is story number one. And you'll see a pattern to this people. We read about Lehi here and his family. And we know the story of what happened, that he left and went off into the wilderness. And that they were led away into a different direction. I also want to state about this as I'm reading this. I'm nowhere in the world declaring that we are that this is the end times this day because of this virus and what's coming on. I don't mean to put that thought in your head. It could be, I have no idea. But I want to talk about what the Lord does with his people and his groups of people. Let's read about another group. Let's read to Genesis 3. I want to read 1 through 10. Well, I did it again, didn't I? Give me one second here. Maybe that's supposed to be 31. All right, I apologize. That's Exodus. Boy, I am on a roll this night. Let's try Exodus chapter 3. And it says this, and now we know this, of course, is Moses and the people of Israel. And this is chapter 3. It starts like this. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he saw, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And God said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows, and I came down to deliver them out of the land, hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto the good land, and a large, unto the land flowing with flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. And thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So here we have a second story to go along with Lehi. And you notice the theme I'm going with. Here are people of God, and the Lord calls out unto them. And he gives them direction. And he hears the cry of the people there, and he sees the wickedness in Jerusalem, and he's going to pull his people out. Two stories that are different time frames, two stories that have differing needs. But at the same time, the Lord calls to his people, and he calls them out. And you can see where I'm going. I'm going to read another important scripture here, I think. But, you know, my point to this, as we look back and remember it, you know, there's no reason. Well, there is a reason to be afraid. And that's if you're not following the Lord's commandments, which we'll talk about in a second. But if we are the people of God, you know, things that are happening are not going to be a mystery to us. If we spend our time like we're going to do Wednesday in fasting and prayer, if we spend our time in prayer in general and reading the scriptures, you know, the Lord's going to call out to us. And what it looks like, you know, we don't know. I mean, we can guess. There are people probably that have ideas and concepts and thoughts. You know, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is coming. But we don't have to be fearful, as our brother again stated this morning, you know, that it's not, he does not give us the spirit of fear. And that when these things happen, it's not going to be a secret to us. There was nothing in these first two stories, you know, that they didn't rush out and buy 10,000 pounds of toilet paper. You know, they weren't looking for this stuff. The Lord said, we're going to go, and I'm going to give you everything I need. And then we do, and you know those stories. I don't have to read them to you. But there was no great collection. There wasn't, you know, save up 6 months of this and that. You know, in the story of Exodus, you know, he told the people to take the stuff from the Egyptians, you know, and the people of Nephi, they hunted for their stuff. We read that story. And they took what they could. They left all their wealth and their possessions back in Jerusalem before it was destroyed. And so by reading these stories in the next story, you know, my hope is to give you pause and give you joy and give you peace that at the time of the calling of the Lord, whatever it might be, whether it's some great trial, his hand of protection is always going to be upon us. And it's also important to understand in all three of these stories, it wasn't easy. You know, it wasn't like the Lord sent a Hummer limo out to the front of our yard filled with food and sustenance. You know, the people of Exodus had to walk out, take what they had, you know, and the people of Nephi, they left without nothing. This wasn't not an easy thing that happened. There were burdens that were put upon them. So it wasn't easy. So if you're expecting life to be easy, you know, get rid of that expectation and your joy will become greater. I want to skip over to 3 Nephi. Chapter 4. Verses 55 to 69. And we know this story here. This is the time on earth where Christ, it's been prophesied at this point by Samuel the Lamanite. And the Lord has been walking in Jerusalem and he's been... So of course, been crucified. He's about to show up at this point onto this ground, this area that the Book of Mormon talks about. And I want to read again, page 629, starting at 55. And it came to pass, there came a voice again unto the people, and all the people did hear and did witness of it, saying, O ye people of these great cities which have fallen, which are descendants of Jacob, yea, which are of the house of Israel, you people of the house of Israel, how oft have I gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings and have nourished you. And again, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, which have fallen. Yea, O ye people of the house of Israel, ye that dwell at Jerusalem as ye have fallen, yea, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen gathereth her chickens, and ye would not. O ye house of Israel, whom I have spared, how often will I gather you as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, if you will repent, and return unto me with full purpose of heart. But if not, O house of Israel, the places of your dwelling shall become desolate until the time of the fulfilling of the covenant to your fathers. And now it came to pass that after the people had heard these words, behold, they began to weep and howl again because of the loss of their kindreds and friends. And it came to pass that thus did the 3 days pass away. And it was in the morning, the darkness dispersed off the face of the land, and the earth did cease to tremble, and the rocks did cease to rend, and the dreadful groanings did cease, and all the tumultuous noises did pass away, and the earth did cleave together again. That it stood in the morning, and the weeping and the wailing of the people which were spared alive did cease. And their mourning was turned to joy, and their lamentations unto the praise and thanksgiving unto the Lord Jesus Christ, their Redeemer. And thus far were the scriptures fulfilled which had been spoken by the prophets. And it was the more righteous part of the people which were saved, and it was they which received the prophets and stoned them not, and it was they which had not shed the blood of the saints which were spared. And they were spared and were not sunk and buried upon the earth, and they were not drowned in the depths of the sea, and they were not burned by the fire, neither were they fallen upon and crushed to death, and they were not carried away in the whirlwind, neither were they overpowered by the vapor of smoke and of darkness. And now whoso readeth, let him understand. He that hath the scriptures, let him search them, and see and behold in all these deaths and destructions by fire and by smoke and by tempests and by whirlwinds, by the opening of the earth to receive them, and all these things are not unto the fulfilling of the prophets of many of the holy prophets. And so we hear another story, not unlike the other two, where the Lord spared his people. In this case, the destruction took place among them. Massive destruction. You read, and you've read this story many times. It was a complete and utter destruction. Mountains disappearing and becoming lakes, and areas that were low becoming mountains, and people were destroyed. And there was, as you read this story, it's an incredible story of the power of that moment, and the weeping and the gnashing and the people screaming and anguish and pain. It was, I'm sure, a horrible time, and now a time of joy that they had been preserved and saved. So another story of a people of the Lord. You know, I don't know that anybody's called me being fearful, but it is my concern with our brothers and sisters out there, and maybe our neighbors. You know, that this is our time to shine forth when these things happen, that we're to shine forth as a light and to increase our faith at these times and know that we're going to be a protected people if we serve our Lord and Savior, God. You know, again, this is another people that, you know, there wasn't a massive increase in the amount of toilet paper and canned goods. You know, we see the events that are happening today. I was trying to hope that I could get by without even mentioning it and just giving you a sermon, but you can't do it. You know, I was talking to our brother Glenn this, you know, just now, and I knew that he had to talk about it, and I have to talk about it because it's important, you know, because people need to hear about it. But when you look out there, I actually looked up a couple words because I thought of it. There's several reasons I think of it. I don't know that it's been that horrible this time, but you know, what happens to a people that don't serve God? And you read it, and the words that come to my mind are panic and anarchy. The word panic, if you look up that word in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it says, a sudden overpowering fright, acute extreme anxiety, or a sudden unreasoning terror, often accompanied by mass flight, widespread panic in the streets. You know, in my mind, we saw some of that. It wasn't horrible, but people were very, very fearful of the things that you know, what's going to happen. And again, nobody knows what this is going to lead to. You know, it could be a complete overreach. You have no idea what's going to happen. It could get much, much worse, and we don't know. But it's not our place to panic. It's not our place to be fearful. Anarchy, I think about this even before this event. You look at history and you look at studies, you know, and anarchy is the absence of government, a state of lawlessness or political disorder due to the absence of governmental authority, the city's descent into anarchy. I think about this group that's out there right now that we read about called Antifa. And they are a wicked, awful group if you read about them. They desire to destroy and to maim and to taunt and to kill when they can, if you read some of the things that's written about them. And yet, many, many people, even in our government and in our cities, are supporting them and saying they have a right to do these things. And what they cause is anarchy, without law, without anything. There's no punishment for the crimes that they have committed. And this is what happens. We don't, as a people, as a believer in Jesus Christ, this is not where we want to be. The other thing, I was in Missouri a few weeks ago, and I got to listen to a sermon by my brother D.A., and I mentioned this in several of my sermons. You know, oftentimes when I hear a sermon, I rarely remember the whole thing, but often I remember a phrase or a passage or a scripture or just one or two words that stick out in that. And the title of a sermon was Out of Control. And I thought about that word. And when you think about it, I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about our lives. You know, how many of you can control this virus that's happening right now? You can't do it. You know, when these things happen, you know, when the government closes the doors, when it says you can't do this and you can't do this, and as I look at this and I agree with the statements that have been made, you know, that they're, you know, at this time, the things that they're trying to do, a lot of it's for our protection, to keep us safe, you know, not meeting in groups of 50 or groups of 10. And some states, you know, have said you can't even go out, and there's that, you know, there's, in a thing that's good, you know full well that there are people that are going to take advantage of it. But as we look at our lives, you know, there's so much that is out of our control. I can't control it. I can't always control what my kids have done. I can't control what my job, you know. At this time, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, this could last for months and months, and there could be job losses. There could be promotions. You know, who knows what's going to happen out of this? But it's out of our control. We can't control these things. We can't control the weather. You know, so much of the world talks about the things that they want to be able to do. You can't control the weather. You can't control the oceans. So much is out of our control. And that thing, you know, should take us into this remembrance and teach us to rely wholly upon the Lord God and not worry about what's happening around us, but listen to His voice and what He's asking us to do in preparation. Let's go into these stories. I want to read a little further in this story. So you can kind of hold your place. I'm going to come back to Helaman, which is the book before in chapter 5. So if you want to sort of hold your place there, we'll come back to that. But I want to go back to 1 Nephi 5. Don't trust myself at this point, I have to confess. Normally what I do is I completed this sermon, and then what I try to do on Sundays is I go back and I read through it and make sure that I have the right scriptures. And believe it or not, even though we didn't meet together, I got very busy doing church activities. So it was fun. These young people have me doing podcasts now. I feel like I'm in that middle group. You know, I had to learn what a podcast was, number one, and now they've got me doing podcasts, and I'm trying to help them put podcasts together and doing those things. And Adam's been asking for articles, and I was able to finish up an article, so I got very busy and didn't go back to read these. So that's my excuse of the day why I have not gone back and looked at, make sure I'm in the right place. But I think I'm in the right place. 1 Nephi chapter 5, I want to read 93 through 102 here. And this is Laman and Lemuel. And remember the story of Laman and Lemuel and how they were wicked brothers. Ironically, the Lord brought them along knowing full well who they would be in these last days. Yet the story we just finished reading in 3 Nephi was part of that group was the Lamanites, which came from Laman and Lemuel. So here's this long story of Laman and Lemuel and all the trouble they caused for years and years. Yet we know of a group of Lamanites that were saved when Christ after Christ was crucified because they turned and served the Lord. But I digress. So here's 93. Here's Laman and Lemuel talking to Nephi in one of their little temper tantrums that they threw. In 93, they're saying to him, Thou art like unto our father, led away by foolish imaginations of his heart. Yea, he hath led us out of this land of Jerusalem, and we have wandered in the wilderness for many years. And our women have toiled, being big with child, and they have been born in the wilderness and suffered all things, save it were death. And it would have been better that they had died before they came out of Jerusalem than have suffered these afflictions. Behold, these many years we have suffered in the wilderness, which time we might have enjoyed our possessions in the land of our inheritance. Yea, we might have been happy. And we know that the people which were in the land of Jerusalem were a righteous people, for they kept the stat. And we'll read on here, and of course we know Nephi further corrects them that they were not a righteous people and they were destroyed. In verse 99, for they kept the statutes and the judgments of the Lord and his commandments according to the law of Moses, wherefore we know that they are a righteous people. And our father hath judged him and hath led us away because we would hearken unto his words. Yea, and our brother is like unto him. And after this manner of language did my brother murmur and complain against us. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake unto them, saying, do you believe that our fathers, which are the children of Israel, would have been led away out of the hands of the Egyptians if they have not hearkened unto the words of the Lord? And he goes on to tell about the story we just started reading about, the Exodus with Moses and the Israelites. And Nephi corrects them, you know, but look at the language Laman and Lemuel used in this, you know. Tell me we don't hear that language today that exists. Hopefully not in our church, but outside this church. We see it in the media. I don't know why anybody watches the news anymore. Because of the murmuring that's taking the place. Look, every time there's a school shooting, you know, if there were a God, God would not let that happen. So we know there's no God. Tell me it's not the same language. You know, look at this virus. You know, the people they're reaching out to blame. Anytime a Christian gets caught, a so-called Christian, if you will, gets caught in a crime, you know, they're quick to blame, slow to forget. You know, it's Christians. You know, Christians are the problem. And that's the words we hear today. It's your fault. It's you Christians. You know, you're trying to make us feel guilty. And we can do these things. And these things are okay to do. And they're righteous. And they're okay. And that's the language we hear today. And it's not the language of the God. And it's not true. Because the Lord teaches us to be a righteous people. And if we follow his righteousness, we are going to be saved in whatever trial that comes out of this. Let's get back over to Helaman in chapter 5, 28 through 36. And it says this, behold ye the people of this great city, and hearken unto my word. Yea, hearken unto the words which the Lord saith. For behold, he saith that you are cursed because of your riches. And also are your riches cursed because you have set your hearts upon them, and you have not hearkened unto the word of him who gave unto you. You do not remember the Lord your God and the things which he hath blessed you, but you do always remember your riches, not to thank the Lord your God for them. Yea, your hearts are not drowed out unto the Lord, but ye do swell with great pride unto boasting, unto great swelling, envying, strifes, malice, persecutions, and murders, and all manner of iniquities. And for this cause has the Lord God caused that a curse should come upon this land, and also upon your riches, and this because of your iniquities. Yea, woe unto this people, because of the time which has arrived, that ye do cast out the prophets, ye do mock them, and cast stones at them, and do slay them, and do all manner of iniquity unto them, even as they did of old time. And now when ye talk, ye say, if our days had been in the days of our fathers of old, we would not have slain the prophets, we would not have stoned them and cast them out. Behold, ye are worse than they, for as the Lord liveth, if a prophet come among you and declareth unto you the word of the Lord, which testifieth of your sins and iniquities, and ye are angry with him and cast them out, and cast him out and seek all manner of ways to destroy him, yea, ye will say that he is a false prophet, and that he is a sinner and of the devil, because he testifieth that your deeds are evil. This is Samuel the Lamanite crossing over, and he's talking to the Nephites who had gone into complete wickedness. Tell me, we don't hear about that today. Tell me that story cannot be told today. Tell me that we don't see that today. I see it on a daily basis. I look in the news today, and I just told you don't watch the news, but I don't know. I guess I'm a glutton for punishment. I think it's important to see what's going on. But you look at all these stars, you know, all these Hollywood people, and they're showing videos of themselves. And look, I'm doing fine, and everything's okay. And they look around, you know, and they want to be seen, and they want to be touched, and you know, you see this. The other thing I think about with these people, the vanity that's involved in it. They have all this money. And there's this call, and this great call, and it's coming from Hollywood. It's coming from all of these people to seek out socialism. You know, I don't get that call. I just don't get it. I've never been in socialism, but I've seen all the countries that have tried to do it, and it doesn't happen. I've heard many people. I've read a book, and I'm reading a book again called The 5,000-Year Leap. If you have not read this book, I strongly suggest that you get this book out and dust the cover, dust off of it and read this book again. It's called The 5,000-Year Leap. It's actually written by an LDS man, but it talks about the principles that this country established and what needed to happen for us to be a free country. And they talked about, they had this graph, and he talks about this graph, this, if you will, this long graph, where on one side is anarchy. Getting way off track here, but one side is anarchy and one side is tyranny. And it's interesting, as you hear the words today, you're a left winger or a right winger. Those terms are totally misused today. That reference went back, I think, to England at that time, where they had this thought process that everybody on the right, this anarchy, was fascist, and everybody on the left were communists or socialists, and they were tyranny, where they wanted dictatorship and someone to rule them. And then as we started to form this government, they looked at it and they wanted to be right in the middle, where the power was in the hands of the people. And you think about that, you know, they set that up. Who does the Lord give power to? He gives it to his people. We have our own free will. You know, we don't have a need to be run by an individual, or to totally lose control of everything. And ironically, that's where the terms left and right came from, not as they describe them today. And ironically, that term fascist and communist or socialist, whatever term you use, are literally the same thing, and they belong on the same side of the aisle. But my point is this, as I was thinking about this, the first time I went to the store was a couple days ago. Amy had gone to the store, and we're picking up things as we need them. And you've heard the stories of the things that are out, but it amazed me as you walked in there still, even a few days ago, the number of spots and the things that were missing on the aisles, they couldn't fill them. And we were limited. You could only get a gallon, I don't know, 2 gallons of milk, 2 loaves of bread. There were no vegetables of any good on there. I saw some peas there, which we all know are not any good. So those were left there, rightfully so. But all of this stuff was missing, and it took me back to a professor that I had, and he was one of my economist classes, and he told us at some point in that class that he was the biggest socialist you ever met in your life. He was all on board and everything. Well, it turns out he ended up getting a PhD in Russian studies, And part of getting his PhD is he spent 2 years in Russia. And he started, and I can't even begin to do it. I'm not gifted quite like he was in words, but he started describing what it looked like in Russia. You waited for hours and hours and hours just to get a roll of toilet paper for your house. The shelves were empty. You know, you had to wait in line to get each thing, each staple that you needed because they were so defeated. And he said after living 2 years there, he became the biggest capitalist you ever see. And I'm not trying to get political there, but his point was that the things that people are calling to, and the reason I brought up socialism because all of these rich people, you hear about this guy that he's very proud of himself because he's sequestered himself, he's taken himself, he's isolated himself. He's on a $500 million yacht. These rich people have no concept. They can do anything, you know. It's nothing for them to pay $5,000 for a steak or something like that, you know. The common people, the people that will have to feel the pain of socialism don't have that money. They get to wait in line. And here are these rich people filled with vanity and talking. And all of these people, you hear this word today, we don't need God. You know, look at us. He's the one that's gotten us all into this trouble. And we see it right here as history. You know, we have to remember this history written right here. We have to remember our own history and remember the things that got us where we are today and those experiences that remembrance will bring us closer to God. In Ether, chapter 5. You know, just some simple bullet points here. Ether, chapter 5. Ether 5, 26 through 28. Thou hast also made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, and this is Moroni. This is Moroni speaking after he's written of the tale of Ether. Thou hast made our words powerful and great, even that we cannot write them. Wherefore, when we write, we behold our weakness and stumble because the blazing of our words, and I fear lest the Gentiles shall mock at our words. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, Fools mock, but they shall mourn. And my grace is sufficient for the meek, and they shall take no advantage of your weakness. And if men come unto me, I will show unto them their weaknesses. I give unto men weaknesses, that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before ye. For if they humble themselves before me, and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. We have a need for humility. We have a need to recognize our weaknesses and let the Lord make them strength. I'll tell you this, and not to brag about this, I hate writing. I've always hated it. It's not one of my favorite things to do. Putting words down on paper, I just have such a hard time doing it. Not that I can't do it, and so I struggle with it. So anytime somebody from the Zion's Advocate or the Hand of Fellowship or anything asked me to write an article, or Adam, in this case, made a call, you know, write an article, you know, I had to force myself to do it. It's a weakness of mine. And I hope that when it gets there, it's useful to somebody. But I've got to stop being afraid of these things. You know, as we look at this, and I think of this word humble, and I think of being out of control, it's got to cause us to be humble before our God, to draw closer to Him, that we become His people, we stay His people. You know, it's times like this that again, you know, we are in relative freedom. I don't care what you say. We are in relative freedom even today, even though that these things have been temporarily, hopefully, taken from us. Look around yourself, examine yourself, come in remembrance, and draw yourself into humility. How about the next one, charity, chapter 7 of Moroni. In verse 51. And note, you know, take a note of the contrast of the two ways here he speaks. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Look at that, you know, charity, it suffereth long, it's kind, it envieth not. It doesn't envy, it's not puffed up, it doesn't seek her own, it's not easily provoked, it thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth and beareth all things. These are the things that we need to at this time. If you feel the stress, I've told several people this, you know, what's interesting, these things, like I said, I don't know if I'm just too stupid or naive to get concerned with these things. Whatever it is, I deal with it. And as it gets closer to me, yes, I become more stressed about it. But, you know, what's interesting about this in our lives as we're living a just normal life, you know, we can come, there might be a stress in my ministry. There might be a stress, you know, whether it's my spiritual life or having to deal with situations that you come across in your ministry, whether it's work, whether it's just the church itself and the dealings of the church or at my home and my kids and my work, you know, there's always a stress in my life somewhere. It's there. It's just going to happen. It's not going to go away. Sometimes it's a couple places, but, you know, wherever you go, you know, it's the reason I didn't even want to mention this silly virus is because wherever you go, it is front and center. It exists in every part of our life at this point, and that can be very, very stressful. But we've got to put on these qualities of the Lord. And charity is one of those things that's helped us endure these things as they come on us and take away that stress that might exist in your lives at this point. Let's turn to, I read this in my last sermon. Maybe I should read it every sermon. Hebrews 11. We all know what this is going to be in chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Hebrews. Chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, I like that word evidence. You know, it's we've got all these evidences. You know, that's why we need to be in remembrance, is to remember all these things. We have lots of evidence of our faith and what exists. If you skip down to verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, we've got to be able to please God. We've got to be able to put on faith. And part of that is remembrance, remembering back of where our faith has come from. What are those things? Why do we have faith? What are the stories? What are the examples that we have of faith? We have got to put them on ourselves. When I think of, you know, like I said, the title of this sermon is remembrance, because it's important. All these things, charity, faith, hope, humility, all of these things, if we can put on remembrance and think of these things, there are so many things that remembrance could do. You know, we talk about an empty church, you know, and as I look out there, you know, how many memories exist? I've only lived here for 14 years, but I've got lots of memories. Glenn sitting in Jenny's spot. You know, I can always look to Jenny. And I used to be able to look at my sister, Marlene, and they're always listening, and they're always shaking their head. And I know, hey, I'm saying something. It may not be right, but they're hearing it, and they're giving me the impression that they're agreeing with me. You know, I can look out and see Don and Betty out there, and I can see Jim and Wanda sitting, and I can see my kids and my wife and Jay and Chris if they haven't moved again. You know, I can still see Tim and Melissa sitting out here. You know, and as I mention each one of those names, I'm sure you're doing it now at home as you're sitting there in the comfort of your PJs and your coffee. And look, I hope you are relaxed at home. And I hope that you don't mind if I go on for another couple hours, because at any point you could turn it off and not offend me, because I don't know if you're listening or not. Michelle and Glenn walking out now might get me in trouble here, but don't worry, I'll shut it off, Michelle. But I think about it, as I mentioned each one of those names, Michelle, Glenn, everybody that sat before us, tell me there's not a memory. Tell me there's not a sermon or something that Glenn said to me. Tell me it's not Michelle's annoying persistence at getting things done in this church, and I say that with love, and she knows that. But she's always doing stuff. You know, Marlene's laughter, I think about Marlene, you know, and she's passed on. This is actually a funny story. It's making me cry. But, you know, my sister Marlene, I was probably the only person in the world she ever made fun of. It was just her goal in life, I think, to make fun of me. And I loved her for that, because she was so nice and kind, and there was not a bad bone in her body, and she used to laugh and make fun of me. You know, and I can look, and I can even see the Temple Lot people seeing there, and I can tell stories, and I can see people, You know, I can see people in my life that bring back my sins. I can see people at work that have been there when I've done things that are wrong. And that's an important remembrance too, you know, not to do those things. What joy did those temporary things bring in my life? There wasn't anything. You know, I can go back and think of my mom and dad have both passed, and I can still see my dad sitting on the front porch and watching us pull up and his orneriness, and I can think about my mom and her arguing all the time with me and the joy that we had, and her teaching my brother and I things in life, and you know, all of these things are important, and we can look back, and I'm gonna finish with several scriptures here about remembrance and the importance of it in our lives, that whatever trial, whatever difficulty comes back, whatever thing, whatever person you're praying for that's in this great spiritual battle or this physical battle, we can look back in remembrance and see healings and see spiritual recovery and seeing the Lord blessing all his people. When we partake of the sacrament, you know, we read this prayer in the fourth and fifth chapters over the bread and the wine, and I'm just going to read the one over the wine. This is chapter 5 and verse 3. I'll read 1 through 3 in chapter 5 of Moroni. The manner of ministering the wine, behold, they took the cup and said, O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them. And that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, that they may have a spirit to be with them. Amen. You know, there's a reason we remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go back and read more on that remembrance. Chapter 3 of 3 Nephi in 33 through 36. It says, and this shall ye always observe to do, even as I have done, even as I have broken bread and blessed it and gave it unto you. And this shall ye do in remembrance of my body, which I've shown unto you in a testimony unto the Father, that ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember, ye shall have my spirit to be with you. And further, after the wine, 39 through 42, and when the disciples had done this, Jesus saith unto them, blessed are ye for this thing which ye have done, for this is fulfilling of my commandments, and this dost witness unto my Father, that ye are willing to do that which I have commanded you. And this shall ye always do unto those who repent and are baptized in my name. And ye shall do it in remembrance of my blood, which I have shed for you, that ye may witness unto the Father, ye do always remember me. And if ye do always remember me, ye shall have my spirit to be with you, and I give unto you a commandment that ye shall do these things. You know, what do you remember of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? We weren't alive then. What do we remember? We remember his sacrifice. We remember him forgiving us of our sins, and we remember him forgiving of our sins. Remember the qualities he asks of us. I read some of them just now. That we're to be, that we're to do, that we're to believe in him, and we're to have these things before him. All these things we've got to remember in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter. And of course, I did not write down the chapter. But there's only a few chapters, so I think I'm pretty safe here. It's chapter 1, and I want to read, let me see if I want to read 1 through 12. So, I'm just going to read it all. In 1 through 12 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He's talking to us, believers. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, to patience and godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. You know, he tells us all these things. You know, you think about this time. I read the article our brother Gordon wrote on fasting and prayer, and I see this call for fasting and prayer. Think about the blessing of the situation of things that we're in right now. And consider that, if that doesn't bring you joy. You know, in theory, for several people, I'm sure they're not able to go to work, so people who aren't normally working at home, I'm not one of those. I do normally work at home. But I'm sure you're out and about less. Travel time is gone. You have a lot more time, in theory. You know, we could take this time to fast and to consider these things and these things that Peter just talked about and work on them in our lives. And where am I lacking? Because you don't have the distractions, in theory, that you would normally have at work. And there's less traffic, and you can focus more if you do have to drive and you have to go to the store. Every time you go to the store, you should be in remembrance of what's happening and who you are and what you should be. I want to finish. Well, no, I don't. I want to read something real quick here, and I forgot to tell you something. I want to read what Matthew Henry, my Bible is a Matthew Henry Bible, and I want to read what Matthew Henry says about verse 12 regarding the term present truth. He says, "We must be established in the belief of the truth that we may not be shaken by every wind of doctrine, and especially in that which is the present truth. And the truth more peculiarly necessary for us to know in our day, that which belongs to our peace and which is more especially opposed in our time. The great doctrines of the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, and all that believe in God must be careful to maintain good works, that these are the truths that the apostles insisted on in the day, that they are faithful sayings and worthy of all acceptation, in every age of the Christian church." You know what? I think he phrases that so beautifully in the present truth of the things that we need to work on. As I'm turning to my last scripture, which is Moroni 6:6. I know this is a scripture. Did you read this morning, Brother Glenn? I don't know if you referenced it. I know it's a scripture that you do love. I've heard you use it several times. But I have to tell you, I was thinking about this night, you know, and I wanted to give something to relax you and give you peace. And so I thought, boy, this would be fun. I should call Michelle or text her and say, hey, do we still have that fake fire thing that we have? And I was going to move the pulpit out of the way, and I'm just going to put my chair right there and do kind of this fireside chat thing. And not to be goofy, I thought it would be relaxing. And ironically, I looked it up because I remember the fireside chat was related to a president, and I looked it up, and it was FDR. And if you know anything about FDR, and again, I hope I don't offend anybody, but he was known for his big deal. And the big deal, of course, is very helpful in a socialist movement, the things that he brought on. I'm not going to bring that out. And as I further looked up fireside chat, it brought up other socialists like to have these fireside chats, apparently. So I'm glad I looked that up before I did a fireside chat after I complained about socialism. But I did want to do that and give you a relaxed setting today. But, you know, I'm hopeful the words have been pleasing before you, that the Lord did move upon you. I want to read this verse 6:6 in Moroni, page 762 is my closing scripture. I want to talk about it, of course. "And the church did meet together oft to fast and to pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus." You know, of course I read that because I want us to remember. You know, this is time, you know, if we've, you know, evaluate everything in your life because it's changed, you know. Can you deal with change? Can you deal with the things that are going to be different? You know, what if this becomes a more permanent solution, or every time somebody hiccups, you know, we get into this situation where we can't meet together. We can still meet together. You know, we have technology. It was so cool to see the kids on the Sunday school together. I meet with my family. You know, it's different for me because I can see my neighbors in my front yard when I go out there and I can yell across the thing. But don't stop meeting in the sense that we meet for this gospel and we pray together and we come together. We can still be united. You, when they wrote this, this was on this continent. You know, there was still things happening in other places, and I'm sure they met together in these churches. Together, but we can still meet together, but we can't stop being in remembrance, even though we can't physically meet together. You know, this is not a time to panic. You can still meet. You can still pick up the phone. Call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. For you kids out there, there's something they used to call pen and paper, and they had a thing called a stamp and an envelope, and you can write on this paper. It's called a letter. And before we had a thing called email, which if you didn't know is electronic mail, we had just mail and there was no electronics touch to it. Write a letter. I do that in my job sometimes, you know, and I've received them in my life. A handwritten letter, there's something about it. And I've got to put myself to the task of writing this letter while this is happening and sending it to somebody, because I don't know what it is about receiving a handwritten letter. It's different than an email, different than anything. It's like somebody took the time and the energy in the heart to send you a letter, and I've got to do that because I brought it up. But take advantage of this time. Take advantage to examine, you know, what can we do better? You know, what can we do to reach out to people? You know, these podcasts that are happening, these young guys have got me going and wearing me out for an old man. They've got me doing stuff, but there are things that we can be done. Michelle's reaching out on things that can be done. Take advantage of this time. What can we do better? What can we do better for all of this stuff and for all you that are used to meeting in a congregation? You know, is there something we can do for our members that don't get to meet together all the time? Or can we look at things in our life that we can do better? Let's take advantage of this time. Let's have joy. Let's not be afraid. The Lord does not teach fear, as our brother taught this morning. Have humility. Take advantage of the time we have. Thank you, brothers and sisters. May your night be blessed, and may the Lord bless each one of you. Thank you.